Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started with the Future Today Prophecy Meeting. So, turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Ephesians chapter 2. The purpose of this series and this monthly meeting is to look at what God said in the past about the future to better understand today. So there's a reason why God said what he said, and it's important for us to understand it. You know, Randy and I was talking about that. God predicted the future. He told us the future. He knows the end from the beginning. And if we can understand what God said, then we can better understand why the world is the way that it is, because we can look at the world today, and then we can go to the Bible and see, oh, yeah, God said it was going to be like that. Now, not specific things, but generally speaking, what we see going on in the world today is what God said was going to be happening in the end times. And so we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be alarmed by that. We shouldn't be in fear as we see these things happening around us. There's an aspect where it ought to bother us, but the reality is that when we better understand it, we can again, as I was talking about this morning, we can continue not to focus on those things, because, well, what God may call us to do something over there, the main thing he's calling us to do is to run our race and to keep running our race. You know, we're living in weird times, confusing times. You know, we're in this situation where our country is threatening to tear itself apart over whether or not a woman has a right to murder her baby in the womb, or possibly even after it's born. We're also, you know, there's this big fight and debate over whether or not parents have the right to say whether or not their children are taught perverse sexual ideologies in school. And then we have the tragedy, an 18-year-old shooting up an elementary school and killing all those kids. It's hard to see all of these attacks, especially on the innocent, on the vulnerable, on those who cannot protect themselves, and not be discouraged or angry or afraid. When will all of this evil end? When will it be over? In the Tuesday morning Bible study, we are literally, the very next verse we're going to look at is the answer to that question. And that answer is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's when it's going to end. In Revelation 19:15, it says this: "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." We understand, as we look at all these things going on, that there is a cup, a symbolic cup in heaven that is being filled up with the wrath of God. And when that cup is full, God's going to pour out his wrath upon a God-hating, Christ-rejecting, evil world, and he will deal with evil once and for all. But that's not today. Today, we still have to move and work within this world. Until then, we stand in the truth. Ephesians 6:11-13, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." You know, every day we're dealing with that. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." God's calling us to stand. It's an evil day. You cannot look at this world without understanding that it's an evil day. And, you know, if you've been listening to, I listen to a number of podcasters that are commenting on current affairs, and they will sometimes interact with people on the other side. If you listen to them, it is mind-blowing to me how deeply ingrained into the evil they are. They are absolutely sold out to it, that to them that they are right, they are good, they are righteous, and everyone else is evil. And they cannot in their minds imagine why anybody would not be like them. And it's absolutely just, it's terrifying to see how far these people go and believe these things that we look at and say, that's just evil and wicked and horrible, and yet they think it's right and good, and don't understand why you don't agree with them. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul encourages us. Paul said in Ephesians 6, to, you know, having done all to stand, here in Ephesians chapter 2, he encourages us to sit. And so, but first he reminds us what we used to be, and that we used to be just like everyone else around us. Just like all those people are sold out to evil and wickedness, we used to be just like them. Chapter 2, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sin. You were just like everybody else, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's everyone who has rejected Christ or refuses to acknowledge the reality of God and the truth of his word, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Anybody who has not experienced the grace of God and responded to his call to turn from their evil and to turn from their wickedness and to escape the power of sin through faith in Jesus Christ are these that are caught up in the darkness. And again, as you listen to them, it is just mind-blowing to listen to people, especially, you know, I've been hearing a lot about the pro-abortion side and how they justify. And they're not even hiding it. They are recognizing they're killing a baby, and they're justifying it in their mind as a good and a right thing to do. And it is just, I think the further we go along in our faith, the more we embrace the truth of who God is and what his word says, the more horrific it is, the words that they use, the more evil it sounds, the more difficult it is to accept. But that is where they're at, and we need to understand that. The first three verses there describe all of us before we were saved. And Paul uses two words that should encourage anyone who has a heart that is sensitive to God. He says in verse 4, but God. If we understand, that's the way we all were. But God. God saw that. God chose to intervene in the destiny of humanity and said, that's where all everybody was, that's where all they were going, but God. He says, you know, let's do something about that. And so rather than just letting humans suffer the consequences of being children of wrath, because what's the consequence of being a child of wrath? Wrath. The wrath of God being poured out on your life, on your eternity. And he chose to do something, to give them a different destiny. And we know that is by sending his son. And then tells us why God did it in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Because of God's mercy, he didn't give us what we deserve. He didn't give us the consequences and the eternity that we all deserve because we are children of wrath. He gave us an option. He gave us an opportunity to escape that destiny, to embrace another destiny through his son. Then he expressed it through, you know, as an expression of his great love. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So God made us able to respond. That's important. That's what that verse is telling us. God made us able to respond to him. Before we were saved, we were incapable of responding to God, but then he made us alive so that we could respond to God. It was an expression of his grace. Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I raised us up as the idea of bodily resurrection. And I don't know about you. Any of you remember being resurrected, being dead, and then raised to life? No. And we all have the same bodies that we were born with, a few extra miles on them, some of them. But you know, the reality is that we have not experienced that yet. But notice the tense of the words that he's using this. Raised. What tense is that in? Past tense. It was a past reality, past tense, meaning it has already happened. And we've also not experienced sitting with Jesus in heaven, right? None of us have been there. None of us have gone to heaven and sat around with Jesus and then come back, right? I am talking to the right people here, right? Okay, none of you have, none of you online, possibly. And so, but Paul is stating a present reality with a future manifestation. The activity that caused it was in the past. You know, when by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, we have been saved, and that salvation has raised us, past tense, is a present reality that will be manifested in the future. And the same thing is true of sitting with him, with Christ in heaven. So if God has made you alive by grace through faith in Christ, then it's an absolute certainty that you'll be raised to eternal life. There's no question, there's no doubt, there's no circumstances that can change it, and you will sit with Christ in heaven. It's true for all believers today. And that is one of the things that when we're viewing the world around us, we need to remind ourselves of these things. Remind ourselves that okay, this is the present reality, but there is another reality that we have not manifested, that has not manifested in our lives yet. Well, I have to go through this, but ultimately that is true also. So while we're in this flesh, we're called to stand in the truth by the power of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, based upon the Word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're to stand in the truth. But at the same time, we're seated in heaven with Christ. At the same time, we're called to, you know, as a choice of the will, as a declaration, an expression of faith, we stand in the truth, but we're also seated in heaven with Christ at the very same time. And being seated, this is the kind of the thing that really kind of just really ministered to me this week. Being seated has the idea of rest, of not, you know, when you're standing, you know, in the context of the armor of God, there's that sense of conflict and standing against something. But when you're seated, there's a different context, there's a different sense, there's a different feeling. It's an idea of being at rest. And as we look around the world today, it might be easy to get discouraged or angry or afraid. You know, lots of different emotions come as we look at these different things going on. And Randy's going to share some of those things that, you know, that they're some of them are just weird. Some of them are terrifying. Some of them are just nasty. But when we start feeling that way, I think what we need to do is we need to sit back. Lean back in our minds, in our hearts, lean back and imagine yourself seated with Christ in heaven. imagine. It's a current reality. I can imagine the reality of it. So we rest in him. We trust him for the today as we have to go through this obnoxious world that we're living in, but we have to do it in a way that allows us to be able to run our race. And we do that by resting in him, trusting in him, hoping in him, and not freaking out about all the stuff that is going on around us. We need to listen, just as if we were sitting with Christ, listen for his voice telling us what we need to know, how he would encourage us through his word, how his spirit might empower us to go and to do what we're called to do. Imagine sitting with Christ with all of the circumstances of your life and imagine what he might say to you in that moment. What would Jesus say if you were sitting with him right now? Because according to Paul, that is our present reality. It's not manifested yet in the physical reality, in the spiritual reality, but it is a reality. Stand in the truth, but at the same time, rest in Christ. And so we need to remember that as we take this time now and Pastor Randy shares his things. Just remember that all of these things, that we're not to be afraid. We're to be at peace. We're to be at rest. And we can do that because we have past tense been raised to life and we are presently seated with Christ in heaven. Now, we don't get to actually see that until later, but they are present realities and we need to learn to embrace them as we go through the things of life. Amen? Pastor Randy.
Okay. So in a past future today, someone asked me at the end of my sharing and, you know, things look kind of ominous and everything, man, can you just end on a positive note, you know? Well, Pastor Rick just did that. He started on a positive note, and I think that's important because what happens is that it should encourage each of us to look toward where we are going, not the path that the world is taking. And that's a huge difference because where we are going is something special. You know, I mean, we can't even fathom that. Where the world is going is extremely difficult and full of rage. Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. What are the words that Paul was talking about? Well, they were words of where we are headed to be seated with Christ, the rapture, the fact that God's in control. We have to stay focused on that fact because if we look at some of the things that I'm going to share with you and it overwhelms us, we're not truly looking through Christ's eyes. And that's what we need to do more and more. Luke 21, 28 says, now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. That's where we should be. Our heads should, for want of a better cliche, our heads should be in the clouds, knowing that we're going home soon.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.